No one could keep records of such things, but it is just possible that over the past couple of weeks, more Americans than ever before have asked one another, what exactly does it mean in terms of the law to be married? The debate over same-sex unions in Massachusetts, the sudden issuance of same-sex marriage licenses in San Francisco, have prompted countless conversations of that sort, including conversations between people who are married and still wonder exactly what that means. Well, last week, we invited you to phone in your questions about same-sex marriage that you haven't seen answered elsewhere, and we promised to invite some experts on the subject to try to answer those questions. And so here we are, first with the experts. I'd like to welcome them. Professor of Law Richard Duncan joins us from the University of Nebraska, and also William Eskridge, who is a professor at Yale Law School, joins us as well. Welcome to the both of you.
Thank you, Robert.
And now on to the questions we've received, many of which were variants of this question.
My name is Greg Scruggs. I live in Columbia, Maryland. I'm a 17-year-old high school senior and one of the presidents of my school's Gay Straight Alliance. And I'm curious about legal standing here. The only model for civil unions that I know of that actually exists is in Vermont. What rights would a married couple have that a couple that's civilly unioned not have, besides the fact that they have the name marriage attached? Are there any actual tangible legal benefits that differ? Thank you.
That's the question from Greg Scruggs. And as I say, many, many listeners asked varieties of that question. First, Professor Duncan, what would you say in response to that?
Well, so much would depend on the particular civil union law if a state were to adopt one. But I think the Vermont model, I think, is that a civil union is simply a marriage by another name. It's an attempt to give all of the rights and benefits of marriage, at least insofar as the states can give them, to same-sex couples, the only thing being that the name that we call the relationship with is a civil union, not marriage.
William Eskridge, would you agree it's just a matter of what you call it?
I think in large part, though it remains to be seen whether there's some differences that will evolve over time. For example, it's conceivable but not clear at this point that some states will recognize same-sex marriages but not civil unions. Or perhaps even vice versa. It's conceivable that some states with anti-same-sex marriage statutes might be more willing to recognize some of the rights and obligations of civil unions were the Vermont couple to move to that particular state. But the portability question, if the couple moves to another state, still to be resolved.
Which brings us to this question sent in by a listener also in Maryland.
Hello, my name is Kathy Mateer. I live in Bel Air, Maryland. My question regards the Constitution and the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution. The Constitution states that if something is a contract in one state, that other states will recognize that contract. And I'm just wondering why marriage would not be considered to fall under that full faith and credit clause.
William Eskridge, let's start with you. Would it logically fall under that clause of the Constitution?
The answer is that a marriage license and recognition in Massachusetts would fall under the Full Faith and Credit Clause, but the U.S. Supreme Court and courts in the United States have not required other states to recognize marriages which were contrary to their public policy. So it's very unlikely that a court would require, for example, Alabama or Nebraska to recognize Massachusetts same-sex marriages which were contrary to that state's public policy.
And when you allude to case law on this subject, you're referring to litigation or over laws that set ages for marriage or barred interracial marriage? Is that what the history is all about?
Interestingly, most of the litigation involved different race marriage. Most of that litigation in the 19th and 20th centuries was determined as a matter of state law. A lot of the cases, Robert, involve first cousins. Some of the cases involve polygamy. And there's enough case law to be fairly confident that the states, notwithstanding Massachusetts's action, still have a wide degree of latitude in making their own choices.
Richard Duncan, something to add?
Yes, and the one thing to add is that, of course, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the federal DOMA, Congress has also tried to speak on this issue by making clear that no state will be required to recognize another state same-sex marriage, and Congress is acting pursuant to its power to pass regulations under the Full Faith and Credit Clause. So that would be another factor on this, is that we have a congressional statute that has basically reaffirmed what I think Professor Eskridge correctly described as the law, and that is that no state will be required to recognize a same-sex marriage unless it believes that same-sex marriage is consistent with the public policy of that state.
It's Professor Richard Duncan of the University of Nebraska School of Law, and now here's another one of your questions.
Hello, my name is Enrique Jogradge. I'm active Navy, a father of three kids, and stationed out of Mayport, Florida. What will happen if people do get married and they're in the military and it has to be put onto their notification sheets for next of kin because it's a loss of benefits due to the don't ask, don't tell policy? Thank you. Bye.
Let's start with Professor Duncan this time. And I guess we can even also add civil union. What if somebody in the service were to take a civil union in Vermont? Would that be a violation of don't ask, don't tell, and therefore show them the door out of the military?
Well, I'm not sure if it would be a violation of don't ask, don't tell. I am quite sure that under the Federal Defense of Marriage Law, that the Navy would not be required to recognize the Massachusetts marriage or the Vermont civil union. It would not affect their benefits in the sense of being able to get spousal benefits. I'm quite sure of that. I'm not really sure exactly what would happen with the don't ask, don't tell policy.
Thoughts on this one, Professor Eskridge?
Robert, you might be interested to know that starting with the Carter and Reagan administrations, either engaging in or attempting to engage in a same-sex marriage has been the basis for exclusion and expulsion from the U.S. military. So in an interesting twist, the administration of Ronald Reagan was one of the first administrations in the United States to recognize same-sex marriages, except in a very perverse sense, it was recognizing them as a basis for exclusion from the U.S. military.
It's a different use of recognize. they were spotting the development happening in American life. They weren't extending a legal recognition to them.
Well, they were extending a kind of legal recognition.
That they exist. This is a question that we received from a listener in Colorado.
Hi, my name is Jeron Starosta. I'm from Denver. Do gay marriages in other countries, such as Canada, recognize by the United States? What is the legal issues around recognizing marriages between man and a man or woman and a woman from a different country? Thank you.
What is the answer to that? First, Professor Richard Duncan.
Well, of course, under DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the federal government has defined marriage as a relationship between one man and one woman. So a same-sex marriage from Canada or from some other country would not be recognized at the federal level. I believe at the state level, a lot would have to do with whatever the Supreme Court of any particular state might want to do, and it would not surprise me if some state Supreme Courts might be willing to recognize an international same-sex marriage as permissible within that particular state. Other states, of course, would not do so.
William Eskridge, you'd have the same view, state by state?
It's going to be state by state, certainly, and I think it's going to depend very much on whether or not the recognizing state already has an institution recognizing same-sex couples. States such as Alabama and others that have either statutes or constitutional amendments directing their courts not to recognize same-sex marriages are obviously the least likely to give any kind of recognition to the Canadian marriages.
Here's another question about what the difference is between being married and being in a civil union.
Hi, this is Christian Jackson from Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm 23 years old, and I've been in a relationship for about a year now, and we're thinking about adopting. I just wondered what the difference from a civil union or a regular union of marriage, how that would affect us in adopting children. Would a civil union give us the same rights to adopt as other regular straight couples would have? Thank you.
Let's start with Professor Eskridge.
Generally speaking, if you have either a civil union or a same-sex marriage or even a California domestic partnership, those particular states do give the same adoption rights to same-sex married or partnered couples that different-sex married couples would have. But I might also add, even in states that do not recognize either same-sex marriages or civil unions, most of those states do give adoption rights to gay men, lesbians, and bisexuals. And some of the states, an increasing number, also do have mechanisms where a same-sex couple can jointly ultimately adopt a child. Very often one person adopts or even has a child, and then her or his partner will engage in what's called a second parent adoption.
You're saying that adoption by same-sex couples has advanced on a much faster track than the issue of marriage has.
That is correct.
Here's a question from a listener in California.
This is David Lewis. I'm calling from Kensington, California. And I have a question about the tax code. The tax code obviously gives some benefits and different tax rates to married couples. And I'm wondering whether that definition of marriage in the tax code is pegged to a particular state or federal law, whether there is an organic definition of marriage in the tax code.
William Eskridge, wouldn't the Defense of Marriage Act once again come into play here? It's a federal form. You're married only by one definition under the federal government.
Well, here is the irony, Robert, is that the federal government tax laws generally do look to the laws of the state of the celebration of marriages. But under the Defense of Marriage Act, there are more than 1,000 federal regulations and statutes and provisions that either refer to marital status or spouse. And every one of them, according to DOMA, is to be interpreted to exclude same-sex married couples.
And Richard Duncan agreed?
I agree. And, you know, and again, it's not unusual that people who aren't married but have deep relationships, two sisters who live together and have a close family relationship, they also cannot file joint tax returns under federal law. So it's not unusual that people who have very close friendships and loving relationships with another person who doesn't happen to be a spouse under federal law would not be able to take advantage of the benefits or, in some cases, the disadvantages of filing as a married couple.
Well, thanks to both of you for answering our listeners' questions about same-sex marriage. Richard Duncan, professor of law at the University of Nebraska, and William Eskridge, Jr., professor of jurisprudence at Yale Law School. Thanks again to both of you.
Thank you,
Robert. Thank you, Robert. It was a lot of fun.